And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Merry Christmas and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle, with co-host Dan Walker.
Good morning.
Who's also a cradle, right?
You betcha. Big
and
cradle.
We're broadcasting this morning from the Annunciation Studio here at St. Mary's Hospital. In just 4 days, we'll celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ as unveiled to the Virgin Mary in the Annunciation by the Archangel Gabriel, the patron saint of Catholic radio. See how it all ties together, Dan?
It's amazing.
Now, you wouldn't know by the weather, but we're just days away from Christmas with the very mild temperatures. This December has really been something else. In fact, after today's broadcast, I'm going to Mowikwa and I'm going to play golf with my neighbor. It's supposed to be 50 degrees, so I think that'll be cool. And, you know, I don't really recall playing golf this late in the year without it really being cold and wearing my golf struggle gear.
Well, every once in a while we have one of these warmer trends, and I remember playing in January and it was 90 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
It might have been 10 years ago or so.
Holy cow. But I do remember a warm February a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So you never know what to...
Well, the probability of a white Christmas is pretty slim, but now I heard on the news JC saying that maybe a flurry or two.
We can only hope.
Yeah, it'd be nice. You know, that's about the only day of the year I really care to see snow.
I want to see little snowflakes, then I want to get the wood and get the fireplace going.
Yeah.
And that sets the tone for Christmas Eve.
Well, there you go. Hey, maybe listeners, this week in the mail you received a letter from WDCR announcing our Christmas pledge drive. As you know, we're listener-supported, and your kind donations are what keep Decatur Catholic Radio on the air and streaming live on the Internet. And I hope you've had a chance to listen online at WDCRradio.com in your home or your office. I know, Dan, where I live out in Warrensburg, I have difficulty getting an FM signal from 88.9. So at home, I listen online most of the time. And FM radio is a line of sight thing, and Warrensburg's kind of on a hill. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
I have not.
But I'm on the other side of the hill, and I guess that FM signal goes right over my head. At this time of year, you know, we can be really joyful and happy, but for many people it can be a lonely time of the year. But Dan, did you know that loneliness can not only tank our mood, but it can affect your health? A recent article in the Washington Post indicates that feeling lonely can do more than make you sad. It can predict the way your body will respond and bounce back from various health challenges. Lonely people are more likely to get sick, and researchers want to know why. Three of them recently spoke about the current state of loneliness research and how scientists are responding to this. The conversation covers such topics as what loneliness seems to do to the body, including increased inflammation and neurological and genetic changes, and how healthcare providers are reacting to that. For years, researchers have linked loneliness to poor health. People who say they're lonely are more likely to have dementia and inflammation and to die prematurely. And in the research presented to the American Psychological Association this summer, Professor Julianne Holt-Lundstad from Brigham Young University posited the question, the bigger question, is loneliness a public health risk bigger than obesity? That people are, lonely people are more health risk than people that are obese. She said that feeling lonely isn't the only risk to your health, so is living alone and being socially isolated. They also explore whether social media makes us more or less connected, a question that may drive future research into loneliness. You know, we're really connected in this day and age. There isn't almost anyone around the world that I can talk to today, reach right out and talk to them.
Well, it's both ways. We are connected, but are we personally
connected?
That's the key.
That's the key. If you're typing on a computer or texting on a phone or even talking on a phone, the personal connection of talking to someone face-to-face is lost. And it says feeling lonely isn't the only risk to your health. So is living and being alone, especially at this time of year. The bottom line is there's hope for people who feel lonely, but there's a long way to go before scientists understand exactly how loneliness affects health and what to do about it. It's a conversation worth having, and so we will. And that'll bring us to our first guest today on The Cradle and the Convert, Carla Thornton from St. Mary's Hospital Spiritual Care, who will join us in a minute to discuss dealing with grief and loneliness, especially during the holidays, and maybe how you can help someone in need. Okay, this
sounds great.
This is the Cradle and the Convert on WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio, 88.9 and 96.5. And we're going to take a quick break and get Carla in the studio, and we'll get started. Stay with us.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
WDCR now presents Classic Christmas Carols. Joy to the World is a carol written in 1719 by Isaac Watts, an English hymn author. It's based on Psalm 98, verse 96, stanza 11 through 12, as well as Genesis 3, 17 through 18. The tune to Joy to the World is usually called Antioch and is often attributed to George Friedrich Handel because of the tune's similarity to Handel's Messiah. There is no concrete evidence that Handel scored the hymn, so the tune Antioch, which Joy to the World is set to, is most likely thought to be a collection of samplings from the composer. The hymn generally tells of heaven and earth celebrating Christ's coming as well as his reign over all nations. As of the late 20th century, Joy to the World was the most published Christmas hymn in North America. Popular versions of the hymn have been sung by Ella Fitzgerald, The Supremes, Johnny Cash, and countless others.
Joy to
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade with Dan Walker this morning, and with me in the studio is a regular guest here on The Cradle and the Convert, Carla Thornton from the Spiritual Care Department of St. Mary's Hospital right here in Decatur, Illinois. Merry Christmas, Carla.
Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas and the holiday season is a joyful time of year for most of us, but it's a season of struggle and pain, the pain of loss for others, isn't it?
Yes, it can be.
And you know, my grandmother passed away in December years ago, and I'm reminded of that every year at this time. But when it comes to the loss of a spouse, a parent, or a child, it can really be a struggle, especially the first couple years after that loss. Carla, how do we appropriately assist people that are struggling with grief and loss this time of the year? And I wonder sometimes, should we even bring it up?
Oh, absolutely. Holiday times is just a time where it's tradition for families to get together, and it's something that we've done year after year after year. So when we have lost a loved one, it's very evident when our families come together at the next holiday tradition that our loved one is not there.
Yeah.
All of us are aware, and it's on all of our minds, all of our hearts, but for some reason, oftentimes we won't share, we won't talk about it. And I think the most important thing that we can do is just to acknowledge, boy, I sure wish Grandma was with us this year. Or if Grandma was here, we would have her cookies. Or just something to remember her. I don't know if it's society or if it's just our own selves, but we don't open up and talk about it. And, you know, sometimes I think we feel, well, I don't want to ruin the day, so I don't want to share with everyone that I miss my husband or I miss my son. I don't want to ruin the day, so let's keep it a happy day. But in remembering those that are not with us, it's not always unhappy. It's just acknowledging, boy, if Grandma was here, you know she'd get angry if you were sneaking turkey off that plate. Just to remember those,
you know,
moments.
It's kind of like a funeral service, too. We personally are sad because we're no longer going to be able to see that person. But it's also a celebration of one's life, and now they're in a different life,
right,
a much happier place. Mm-hmm. And many times, you know, I've had the unfortunate of losing both parents in holidays, and that's a good time to celebrate their life. Like I say, at the beginning, you don't want to bring it up because you think it's going to be sad, but you can flip it and say, hey, remember what Mom and Dad did, you know, and all of a sudden make that day a celebration of those that are not with you at this point in time.
absolutely.
And then it changes the whole mood, and then everybody feels a little bit better.
Right, and then it gives everyone feels more comfortable, and it gives everybody permission to remember, because that uncomfortable moment has been cracked because someone has turned it around. And then we just all kind of join together. And even I encourage families to continue doing those same traditions that we did with grandma. I lost my grandma in May of this year, but on Thanksgiving, we still made our ornaments for this Christmas that we always did with grandmother, just to continue their life.
Well, and it's probably the way they would want it, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's what, when I think about that. I remember a few years ago sitting around the Christmas Eve table at my mom and dad's, and all of my aunts and uncles were there. They were all still with us. And I told my kids, look around this table, because in just a few years, these people will be gone, and these will be memories that you're making. And so, you know, now I've had both of them say, Dad, I'm so glad I can remember that Christmas you told us to look around the table and remember everyone, because they're all having the heavenly banquet of Christmas, you know, with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we said, you know, it, sometimes it's awkward to talk about it, I guess we're afraid that if we bring it up, we're going to make them have sad memories and, you know, that we're going to make them cry. But most people, after that loss, want to know that we have not forgotten that person. Just because they've passed from this life to the next doesn't mean we should never talk about them again, or we should be afraid to bring them up for fear that somebody will cry or be sad. It's a joyful passing, and tough for those of us that are left behind.
It is tough for those of us left behind, but our part of our grief is just how much we've loved. We grieve because we love that person so much. So when we begin to talk about them and remember them over the holidays, like you mentioned, it does switch to flipping it into talking about how much we love them and remember them. And it gives everyone permission to feel and to share. And that does turn the moment into a more festive situation.
Yeah, you know, I think what you're saying, and what I'm hearing anyway, is that person may physically no longer be at the table with us, but spiritually, they're right there with God and are with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that we just need to open up and talk about that. What are some other ways, though, that we can help people? You know, there's just some people that are very depressed this time of year, maybe because they don't have a relationship, or maybe they're suffering an illness or something.
Mm-hmm.
We should reach out to those folks. Is that right?
And we should. Just having some connections with each other, because all of us are aware of our friends that have lost somebody. We go to their funerals. We take meals over. But sometimes it seems like after that first couple weeks is gone, then we don't reach out as much. So if all of us that are listening just know of someone that has lost a loved one and is struggling this holiday season, take an extra step just to reach out and let them know that you're thinking of them, praying for them. Talk about their loved one with them.
Yeah.
Remember them and honor them.
You know, I've got a friend that I see at Mass, and every time I saw her husband, he had on a Titleist golf cap. And when he passed away, every time I put on my Titleist golf cap, I would think about him. And I told her that one time at Mass. I said, you know, I was thinking about Chuck the other day when I put on my Titleist golf cap, because I never saw him without one other than at Mass. He would remove his hat for Mass. And she got a big chuckle out of that and gave me a big hug and said, thanks for remembering
him. Absolutely.
And it made me feel like, you know, I'd recognize the fact that he was a friend of mine and that he was gone. And I knew that she missed him. And I didn't think that she would be offended or upset that I had mentioned it, and when in fact it turned out to be very positive, and then we had a couple more laughs about the good old days. And, and I'm sure she reflected later upon that and probably was sad to some degree, but happy that somebody remembers him.
Yeah.
You know, and for something as silly as a Titleist hat. You know,
but that's part of who he was. He always wore that hat. And so to bring that to her attention, that you thought about him when you were putting your hat on, it just reminds us that, you know, that's who he was. He always had his hat on.
And how often, I mean, every year when you decorate your Christmas tree, you put up an ornament that takes you back to grandma and grandpa's, or somebody that gave you the ornament that's not here anymore, or the special memories of Christmas past.
Right.
it just can be a very positive thing to open up and talk about.
What do you do for those people who don't have anyone to share with? You're married, you have a spouse, you don't have any kids, or for some reason they've passed, and you really don't have anyone. That's probably the most challenging.
That is the most challenging, because our grief can quickly turn into a depression if we don't have someone to reach out to. Here at the hospital, we have several support groups to reach out to the community. For those that are involved in churches, I encourage you to reach out to widows who are alone, because being alone can be it's already lonely because we're missing who used to be here with us. But then when we're alone, that's even more challenging.
Yeah, you know, I take communion to some homebound folks. And I normally go on Mondays. This week I'm going on Friday because it's a little closer to the holiday. And most of the people that I visit are alone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just imagine what that must be like to all day long. Now, I'm alone a lot of the day because my wife works. And, you know, so I'm there by myself, left to my own devices to watch TV or mow the yard or do something. But when it comes to folks that are alone at Christmas, truly alone, that live alone and maybe don't have a lot of family, there's the outreach there. You can do so much. You know, I make Eucharistic visits, and I'm going to do those this Friday and take my Christmas cards with me and you know, share a little Christmas joy with them. But it this time of year, being sad, being alone like that has got to be extremely depressing. And we can really change someone's day by a phone call. I know I got one fellow that gets upwards of 100 Christmas cards at Christmas. He counts them, and he'll tell me, well, I got 86 Christmas cards, and I'll bet I hit 100.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what his favorite part of the day is, right? Going to the mailbox.
Oh, right.
And bringing in those cards.
Bringing in those cards.
And the joy that a simple Christmas card can bring a lonely person, I've seen it firsthand. It can be an incredible difference.
The smallest of things make the hugest of difference, because all of us want to be remembered. And then when we're remembering our loved ones that we lost, it's almost like a double connection, because we're remembering the person that's gone and also remembering the person that's still here. And I think God is all about connections. He's personally connecting with us every single moment of the day, and we can take our energies and share with other people and provide them support.
Now, you know, I would recommend, too, that you could make a phone call to these folks. But in this day and age, virtually every phone call that comes in is from some telemarketer,
right?
Some kind of scam. And most of the elderly folks I know don't even answer their phones anymore unless they know that number.
Absolutely.
But you can try. And making the personal contact either through the phone or in person, I guess that's what
just them knowing that you called?
Yeah.
You know, even if most of them have a messaging, voicemails.
Right.
If you just leave a message, at least the knowledge that they know that they were thought of.
Right.
That still, you don't have to talk to them. Just let them know that you called and you were thinking about them.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing about this time of year is Jesus came to earth for our salvation, you know, and he wanted us to spread his word. So just reaching out to someone and maybe just reading them the first part of the Gospels, a little bit of the Christmas story. You know, I don't know, is it good to share with people, well, here's what my family's doing this time of year, or would that be something you wouldn't want to do?
Oh, absolutely, because then they're even kind of included in that.
Sharing it vicariously?
Yeah, because I've been sharing with my family. My oldest son is back from California. I see him twice a year, so I'm so excited. But just in sharing what we're doing actually makes them kind of a part of that moment.
Yeah. Well, and that, I would assume that would be a broad spectrum thing where, you know, people enjoy having that company and someone to talk to. But, you know, even me, sometimes I think I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing, especially this time of year. I suppose as long as you're showing love and friendship, even if you did kind of say something, and I think that's what a lot of us fear is, I'm going to say something that's going to upset someone. I think as long as they know that you care about them enough to talk to them, maybe you will say something silly. Everybody does once in a while, you know. But I guess reaching out and making that contact is just, especially during the holidays.
Having lost my grandmother in February or in May of this year really has kind of changed some of my perspective. I never realized how the littlest of things can send such a powerful trigger. I woke up on Thanksgiving and, you know, I'm just getting up to do my normal day. And I look in my closet and I have her shirt hung there, one of my favorite shirts she always wore. And I immediately just became very sad. And I started grieving, not her at that moment, because I knew she'd passed on to a better place. But I was thinking about growing up with her, being young, what we did. And so those triggers, and we can be talking with someone and we might trigger them, but just continue to share. You know, I noticed I might have said something that triggered a memory. Can you share that memory with me? And being attentive and mindful and showing that love of Christ to each other, because all of us are going to lose someone. All of us will experience that grief. So we do have that connection in that sense.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert with Dave Slade and Dan Walker this morning, and our guest Carla Thornton here from the Spiritual Care Department at St. Mary's Hospital. And we've been talking about loneliness and grief at this time of the year. It's a pretty common thing, and some recommendations. And we're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to wrap up this segment after this message. And then we're going to talk, we're going to read you the gospel and a few community calendar things. We don't have much because the community calendar for Christmas, just about everything's over with. So anyway, we'll be back in just a minute here on The Cradle and the Convert.
WDCR now presents Classic Christmas Carols. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a Christmas carol credited to Charles Wesley in his 1739 collection titled Hymns and Sacred Poems. Wesley set the hymn to a slower and more solemn music than is recognized today. Today's version is the result of many alterations, most notably by George Whitefield, who was Wesley's co-worker. Another notable change was made by Felix Mendelssohn, who replaced the solemn tune with the musical accompaniment we know today. The carol hails the birth of Christ and tells of how Jesus will go on to reign as King and Lord of all, as well as conquer death. Famous versions of the carol have been performed by Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Amy Grant, and many more.
WDCR, Orianna Decatur.
Well, it's kind of unlikely that we're going to have a white Christmas, but we may have some snow flurries here and there. Does it seem to you like when you were younger we had a lot of white Christmases, or do we just focus on the ones that we had? I can remember ice skating on the lake at Thanksgiving in high school, and it seemed like every Christmas when I was a kid it snowed, and I had two big hills in my yard that we sledded on and had these great memories of white Christmases and sledding, but I'll bet it wasn't like that every year. I can just remember the good ones. And I guess that's part of what we're talking about here today, too, is remembering the good ones and sharing those memories with someone who may be depressed or lonely, that type of thing. Somewhere along the line, we can reach out and help someone during this Christmas season. And Dan, you had a great idea talking about either that making a videotape or talking to the favorite memories of a person that we may have lost over the year or years ago. We don't just forget them after a year.
Well, I saw on TV, and maybe it was an advertising, of record your voice or your grandma, grandpa, someone, and you can actually say something, a special message, and now you can download it into, like say, a teddy bear.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you squeeze a teddy bear, I love you, and it's your grandfather's voice or it's your grandma's voice. And so if and when they pass, you also have a living, you have the audio of their voice, too. So that's something else we can do. Be fun and have, say, a special message. And
well, and probably this time of year, too, I guess. We don't show home movies anymore, but it's so easy to shoot a video with your phone, You know, you've got a camera and a video camera in most of our phones, and record some of these moments for posterity later on down the road. You know, it used to be if you wanted to shoot a Christmas movie, Grandpa or Dad had to put up the big camera and the big lights, mm-hmm. and everybody had to freeze in place until he said action. And now we have all this technology built into our phones where we can record it and we can review it. And if we don't like it, we can delete it and start over. But we could make some great memories with those phones that we could look back on. There again, I'm not so sure that when I look back on some of those, it wouldn't make me, I don't know, a little maudlin, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. It's
okay because we're remembering someone that we truly loved and cherished. And over the break, we were talking about, even at our family gatherings this year, taking a moment because we all know who is not around the table. We all know who we're missing. Yep. And just to take that moment and share your favorite mom's memory or your grandma's memory or even your favorite child's memory. The losses are not always older people that we, you know, they're older in age. We have several traumatic losses for people that are still supposed to be with us in our minds. And just to share those, hey, what was your sister's favorite memory when she was younger? To take that moment, and while there will be tears shed, it's a happy time, a bittersweet time of remembering them, and then it just starts, and it gives, I love how it gives permission for everyone to open up and to share.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. And then, you know, then you start telling the stories, and then you start laughing.
Right.
And then some of the gloom and mm-hmm. Depression evaporates.
It does.
It can evaporate into mm-hmm. to laughter and joy and mm-hmm. and fun memories.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a wonderful time of the year. I hate to be depressing about this today by talking about this, but it's so important that you, our listeners, can make a difference in the life of somebody who's struggling at Christmas by reaching out. Reach out. It might be a little late now to get a card to them, but it's not too late to make a phone call, send an email. Maybe somebody you haven't talked to in years, email address, Facebook.
You know, something else let's say you're one of those that are lonely, mm-hmm. but you can find a lot of joy by you yourself reaching out to those you know who are also lonely.
Yeah.
So you don't always have to be the person with the family that reaches out. Mm-hmm. You yourself who are lonely can reach out to others, and you will find great joy. And that's about Christianity and being a Christian. And serving others. So through that, we'll find joy in this life by serving others in this life, even though you yourself might be lonely.
Right. For those of us that are lonely, it takes courage, but just to call someone and say, you know what? I'm missing my husband. I'm alone and I'm lonely. Can we talk? Will you come visit with me? And often that person on the other end of the phone, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they're true friends, you can count on them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can count on them.
Absolutely.
So at the hospital during this time of year, do you have some events coming up? I know we talked about the support group. Sister Shom used to do the widower's luncheons.
We still have the widower's luncheons.
Okay.
Actually, the next one is tomorrow.
Tomorrow or today, Thursday?
Tomorrow.
Oh, Friday?
Oh, you know what? Thursday, December 21st.
Ah, so yep. This afternoon.
Yep, at 11:30 at Bob Evans.
Bob Evans.
So what the Widows Group does is every month they have a restaurant they meet at, and it's for widowers that come together and just share their loved one and a time to connect with each other, and they're all going through similar losses and to be
okay, Carla, so I'm a recently widowed man, and mm-hmm. I've never been to one of these luncheons, and I wouldn't even know how to begin. If I walked in, am I going to know anybody? Are they going to ask me to tell my story? Put me at rest, at ease, to come to this.
Well, there you'll be surrounded by people that are in the same situation as you, and just walk in. And sometimes just saying, hi, my name is Carla. I lost my spouse 2 years ago. And sometimes it won't even get past the hi, my name is Carla, because the group is so welcoming. Hi, I am Dave. Hi, I'm Dan. Just to reach out to each other. Mm-hmm. So having the courage to make that first step is all you will need, because the group is very welcoming and supportive, and it's over a lunch and a meal, and we just share each other's stories and connect with each other.
Well, we at WDCR encourage anyone out there that's a widow or widower.